Praise God. Our golden text, our main text, is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, there's, as we said before, a lot in this verse, and we'll discuss different areas of it later. Right at the moment, we're just lifting out of the text the thought of all prayer, or as some translation said, all kinds of prayer, or all manner of prayer, and discussing the different kinds of prayer that we find in the Word of God. There is a little thought there, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see, this verse seems to indicate that praying for saints or fellow Christians. I'll call your attention to it again. The word intercession is not found in there, but the word supplication is found twice in that one verse, along with the word perseverance. Perseverance means just to stay at it. Old-time Pentecostal folks used to use a term praying through. Now, that can be misinterpreted. If you misinterpret it, it can create confusion and do harm. But if you'll keep it in the right kind of set, it can be a blessing. When they prayed through, that means they persevered. That's another way of saying that. In other words, they stayed at it till whatever it is that they're praying about, they prayed that thing through and got the answer. I think, as I said before, that where folks have missed it so much is that they thought the prayer of faith is going to work everywhere. But did you notice that he emphasizes supplication here, because he mentions that twice. Amen? Praise God. Now, here in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, notice he says here, I exhort that first of all of them's in the plural. Supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks. All of them's in the plural. Did you notice that? Now, the reason is, you see, be made for all men, because you're praying for different ones. For kings, that's in the plural. And for all that are in authority, well, that would be in the plural, wouldn't it? You make intercession maybe just for one individual, but intercessions and prayers and supplication, because you're praying, you're going to pray for all of them. Now, he said, I exhort therefore that first of all, you know, things just work better when you follow instructions. Even in the natural, that's true, isn't it? I remember one time years ago, before I ever moved here, we lived there in Garland, Texas, and lived there for 17 years. We've been up here for 23 now, so this was about 30 years ago. I was repairing something about the house, and I bought a part and was endeavoring to install that, and I thought I knew. You know, I think that's where we miss it a lot of times spiritually. We think we know. So I didn't even mess with the, they got instructions there. I just throwed all that in the wastebasket. And actually, because you see, this particular part was wrapped up in another thing, and actually in the process of it, I tore the thing in several pieces, not necessarily intending to, but did. And so I installed the part, and it didn't work. No, it didn't work. I knew I'd installed it correctly, you see. You know, that's what happens a lot of times spiritually. People just keep doing the same thing. It's not a work. They don't have enough sense to know if it's not a work and there's something wrong somewhere. Amen. And so I went through the whole thing again. It still didn't work. And I said, I know I did that right. So I went through the whole thing again. You know what I thought every step. Still didn't work. Well, in the meantime, somebody had come along, picked up the wastebasket and emptied it. The whole thing's over, you know, in a great big barrel. And so I just had to get all of it out and dig down and find what I'm looking for and find all these pieces and put them back together and take some Scotch tape and tape them where you could read it. And so it had several steps there to take. Step number one, I did that. Step number two, I did that. Step number three, I did that. Well, I did it right. I know it did, but I read step number four. Well, I did that. It's about seven steps. I got down to step number five. Oh, wait a minute. Uh-oh. That's where I missed it. And it just didn't work. So I just backed up, took step number five, just worked perfectly. Amen. Well, you see, a lot of times one thought, one little thought can help you. I mean, I've heard preachers say things or read 50 years ago, still holds me in good stead today. I was reading after, I never did meet Dr. Lillian B. Yeomans. I could have, but I didn't. But I began to read after her way back about 1938, 39, 40. And she made a statement in one of her books. She said, if I pray and don't get an answer, I start changing. Because she said there'll have to be a change somewhere before the answers come. And the change can't be with God. Because he don't ever change. Well, now what does she mean when she starts changing? I don't know exactly what she meant. But I know what I did. When I'd pray and didn't get an answer. Now, you understand this. I'm talking about, and she's talking about, because these are healing messages in connection with praying yourself for your own healing. And I would add, praying for anything else the Bible says yours. Sure, you're not going to get an answer if the Bible don't say it's yours. You're out of line with the Word. Amen. And then you understand, so she's talking about just one specific kind of praying. There's other kinds of praying that you continue to pray about, like we said a lot of times, until you know just what God wants you to do. Like George Muller, you know, we use that illustration. And so I know in my own particular case, particularly in connection with healing, and I believe that's one reason that I've always received just almost instantly, or just right away, is that if I don't get an answer, I start changing. Now, what do you mean to start changing? Well, I always say, Lord, I missed it somewhere. Now, you didn't miss it. God never fails. Jesus never fails. Well, if there's any failure, then where is it? Huh? Has to be with us. Has to be with us. And so I start changing. I said, Lord, where did I miss it? I sure missed it somewhere. Where did I miss it? I'll straighten up. And he'll always tell me right in here. Well, some spectacular supernatural way. No, just like he does you. We call it the still, small voice. And then when I get lined up, you see, immediately it worked. So I was the one that missed it. And it's always worked well for me over these 50-some-odd years. There's no use of going on and butting your head against the wall and not getting any answer. Amen. Now, even when it comes to particular and things that belongs to people, you understand that? We're not talking about praying for things out of line with the Word of God or if the Word of God doesn't cover. You may have to take time to wait on God and see what he wants over in that area. Amen? But I'm talking about things that belongs to us. Even in praying for others and with others, of course, we understand a lot of times you've got to get them in agreement with you, but... And you can locate people very often by what they say. And then you know how to work on them. Get them over into faith because they're in hope or wherever they are. But then right on the other hand, there'll be some isolated cases where the person seems to be just right in line, and still no results forthcoming. I tell the story sometime about how one minister and his wife, and my wife and I drove from North Texas. Actually, we came from East Texas, Gladewater, Texas, up to North Texas, and then got in a car with them and then drove out to West Texas. Because this pastor's wife was bedridden with terminal cancer. And so we'd prayed practically all the time for 3 days and nights. Well, at this time, we'd prayed for 2 days and night. We only slept about 4 hours. And we get up and right back in the room praying again. And just eat one meal a day. And so we lay down the second night, about 4 o'clock in the morning, just to put a mattress on the floor for this pastor that I went with in the living room. And I said to him, "We're missing it somewhere." Now this is I tell you what it was. We started on the 11th day of July, 1949. You remember the 11th day of July, 1949 was on a Monday. And so now this is on the 12th day. See, you know, I say really 12th day, it's Tuesday. Well, it's really 4 o'clock in the morning, Wednesday morning. You know, we call it night. And so I said to him, "We're missing it somewhere." I said, "We've been praying for 2 days and nights for that woman's healing." And I said, I never prayed that long for anything, you know, and I'd been in the ministry at 49 for 15 years. I was healed in 34, so that's 15 years. And I said, "I've never prayed that long for anything without getting an answer." Now, I don't always get the answer I want, but I get God's answer. See, I've had God to tell me, don't pray for them. I said, "Why are they going to die?" "Well, why are they going to die?" And then he'd go ahead and tell me why they were going to die. "Well, just leave them alone. I mean, that's what he said, so that's what you do." And there are conditions like that. And you have to understand that, particularly if you're in the ministry. And you don't always just tell people. You just keep it quiet to yourself and go ahead and minister to their spirits and bless them all you can. Are you listening to me now? That's a different story, so I'll not get into that just now. But now, we haven't gotten any kind of an answer. I said to this pastor that I was with, because we'd gone in his automobile up there, and we was in a little town of about 15 to 20,000 population, had one radio station there. And I said, "If your automobile, the radio receiving set in your automobile, wouldn't pick up this local station, see, we're right there in town, you wouldn't phone up there and say, 'You'd rather have your station fixed, my radio won't get it.'" No, you'd have your radio worked on. I'll be honest with you. You see, our problem in receiving from God is that we're working on the sending in all the time. Well, there's no trouble on the sending in. The problem's on the receiving in. Amen. You have to move people over into a receiving attitude. See what I mean? Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with God. I mean, his station's still working. Has for years. You know, he hadn't burned out any tubes or shorted out anything. If there's any problem, it's down here. I said, "Really, to tell you the truth about it, for 2 days and nights almost, that's what we've been doing. It's almost shouting at God." Now, it's amazing the thinking that people have, which is unscriptural, sometimes some perfectly good people. You know, they got the idea if you could pray loud enough, pray long enough, you might eventually get God the notion of doing something. Well, God's already in the notion. You don't have to talk him in the notion. Anything he promises you in his word, he's already in the notion. I mean, he's already made provision for it. And like I said, I heard one preacher say one time, said he had to pray 3 days and three nights before he could get God in the notion of saving him. Yeah, I heard him say that right from the pulpit. Now think about what unbelief. And people will believe that kind of stuff before they will in what the Bible said. The moment I heard him say that, and I was sitting back in the crowd, the moment I heard him say that, I thought to myself, immediately scripture began to come to me. "See, my words abide in you." Praise God. Scripture began to come to me. Scripture that said Christ is as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Well, that means God's already in the notion of saving him before the world was ever. He ever laid the foundations of the world. Christ is as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Remember that scripture? I had to pray 3 days and nights to get God in the notion of saving me. I thought of that scripture. I thought of this scripture. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Him that cometh unto me, I'll nowise cast out. Amen. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door of his heart, I'll come. He's already in a notion. Don't have to talk him in the notion. See, you don't have to talk him in the notion of hearing answering prayer. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. He's already in the notion. But you see, people's foolish thinking, you know, you've got to, well, you use the term sometimes, got to bombard heaven. Amen. If you can just pray loud enough, just pray long enough. If you can just get enough people to pray, and that'll turn the tide. Well, now, find any scripture that says that same thing, any verses of scripture that tell you that same thing. No, without taking something out of its setting or twisting something. But the most Jesus ever said, he said, if two of you on earth agree. That's God. He said, two of you get the job done. That's touching anything they ask. Now here, Christians are supposed to pray because God will do it for our benefit. Prayers and intercessions, supplications are for kings and for those that are in authority that we might lead a quiet and a peaceable life. He's already told. Would he tell us to pray for something that he wouldn't give to us? Well, he'd be unjust if he did, you see. And so folks got that idea, you know, a lot of times if you could just, you got to be loud about it, you know. Well, God can hear you whether you're praying loud or whether you're praying low or soft. He knows everything you said when you whispered. See, that's natural human reasoning. Amen. Now, another thing is people got the idea in dealing with the devil that you got to holler at him. You got to be firm with him, but you don't have to holler at him where they can hear you half a block away or two blocks away. Amen. I said amen. No, thank God, just come according to the word and it'll solve your problems for you. So I said to this minister, we're missing it somewhere. You wouldn't phone up here if your radio in your car wouldn't get this local station said, you better have your radio station fixed because my radio won't get it. No, you'd take the car, the radio, to a place where they repair these receiving stations and have it repaired. You know, I think that's where the big problem is. We need some repair on this end. The receiving end needs repairing. One way to get it repaired is to get in line with the Word of God. That's reading, he said, and my words abide in you. Well, he said, that sounds reasonable to me. I believe you're right. Now, you understand, back in 1949, I didn't know everything I know now. 40 years ago, you know, you learn a few things as you go along. So when we gathered there, now that was 4 o'clock in the morning, I was talking to him, and by 8 o'clock, we were back in that room again. And so this pastor said, Brother Hagin, you tell the rest of them, see, our two wives and then the preacher's wife on the bed and the pastor was there. Tell them what you said to me. So I said that to them. Now again, let me show you where people miss it. The minute I said that, here the dear lady on the bed, bedfast, began to cry and said, well, it's me. I've just missed it in so many ways and have failed and come up short and so on and so forth. And I said, no, wait a minute. That's not what I'm talking about. Sure, you missed it. If you haven't missed it, you're the first person I've ever seen that never missed it. The only perfect person I know of was the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Sure, I said, you missed it. I understand that. Fail, sin. In some degree, more or less, we all have. But I said, didn't you ask the Lord to forgive you? Sure. Well, you know 1 John 1:9? Yes, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, he's forgiven you and cleansed you. Don't even think about it. No, it's not you. I said, we have not made our connection. Now, what I mean by working on the receiving end, let's pray like this. Lord, we've been praying here for 2 days and 2 nights, 48 hours, no answer of any kind. So we've missed it somewhere because you said, call unto me and I'll answer you. Now show us where we missed it. We failed to make connection here some way or another. Show us. And then I said, after you pray in your own words, in English, whatever you have on your heart, then trust the Holy Ghost in you to give you utterance. He knows how to pray. And begin to pray in tongues. Well, in a few moments, we were all praying, and we were praying then in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. Now, we were in a little old bedroom, about a 10 by 12. This woman just on a double bed. That double bed almost filled up the room. I'm kneeling up by the head of the bed on, if you stand at the foot, the right-hand side. The pastor I came with besides me, the woman's on the bed. My wife's right across the bed in front of me kneeling, and the other pastor's wife kneeling beside her. The pastor had got a telephone call and had to run an errand or had a pastoral visit. He had to go somewhat in case of emergency. And so I'm just praying along in other tongues. We're all, you couldn't locate anybody in a little old room, sheetrock walls, and all your voices are bouncing off the wall, you know. But I heard these words spoken to me, go stand at the foot of the bed. Well, I thought to myself, still praying all the time. See, your mind can work because you're praying in tongues, you're praying out of your spirit. And you know, so in my mind, I said, well, I'm not going to do that. What good would that do? And kept on praying. Well, directly again, I heard the words, go stand at the foot of the bed. And again, I thought the same thing. How's that going to help this woman on the bed for me to go stand at the foot of the bed? So I just kept praying. And then a third time I heard it. So I said to myself, in my mind, praying in tongues, same time, well, I don't guess it'd hurt to try it. I'll just go stand down there. That won't hurt anything. Now, you know, if it had been something ridiculous, that it would have been, you know that. That's easy to judge. But that wouldn't hurt anything. I'll just see if anything happened. So I opened my eyes, because I had my eyes shut. And I went down and stood at the foot of the bed and stood there with my eyes open, praying in other tongues. And everybody's praying in other tongues. Everybody's got their eyes shut. And suddenly my wife stood up. Well, now, you couldn't locate it. In fact, she didn't even know I was at the foot of the bed. She never did open her eyes. She just came and stood at the foot of the bed, standing right beside me. And as she stood there, you see, she's praying in other tongues, and suddenly their tongues changed. Now, first of all, there are divers kinds of tongues. What they are languages. They're different kind of languages. Paul said, though I speak with the tongue or the language of men or angels. And we'll get over into tongues after a while. Again, people take texts out of their context and twist scriptures. And some people are saying nowadays there is a tongue that nobody but the devil understands. Well, in the first place, that's unscriptural. Amen. He that speaketh unknown tongues speaketh not unto men but unto God. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, amen. Are you listening to me now? And so, you see, one tongue is a prayer tongue, or one kind of tongue is a prayer tongue. You're filled with the Spirit and edifies yourself. But there is another kind of tongue. It's still kinds of tongues. Divers kinds of tongue. Different. Divers mean different kinds of tongues. That means for a different purpose and a different use. See what I mean? And so suddenly my wife, the tongue changed to a different kind of a tongue. And though she's speaking in tongues, there's really no interpretation, and there is tongues for interpretation. And I could interpret, but there's no need to interpret it. I heard it in English as though she's speaking in English. I've done that a few times. But see, you don't go off and build a doctrine on that and say everybody can do that, because everybody can't do that. It is as the Spirit wills, not as you will. And that's where people get into it. They have some kind of an experience to begin with that's perfectly legitimate. But then they go try to build a doctrine on that and tell everybody that they can do that and that that can happen to everybody. Well, no. Are you listening to me now? Some of these kind of experiences may happen only once in a lifetime. I've only had that happen to me, I believe, three times, I think, in all of these years. Well, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, speak with tongues every day, sing in tongues, worship God in tongues for 52 years. Next April, we're closer to that, I guess, now, by October, there were 53 years. And over a 53-year period, that's only happened three times. You say, you ever expect it to happen again? I didn't expect it to happen then. Well, if I was you, I'd expect it. Well, you're just wasting your time. You got your expector turned on in the wrong direction. You can't expect that. But can you see where people get into, I just use that in illustration, how that people get into the ditch then, and they want to set up that experience as a norm for everybody, and it's not even a norm for them. Amen. And so, here's what she said to me in English. I know she's speaking in tongues, but it sounded to me just exactly like she spoke to me. Said, go to the head of the bed and say, come out, you spirit, you foul spirit of doubt and fear in the name of Jesus. Well, I did. Now, nobody else heard her speak. You know, they heard her speak. If here, there's praying. Until I moved up there and said that out loud in English, nobody else opened their eyes. They opened their eyes. And that woman was instantly, I mean, she couldn't get out of bed. She was tied to that bed and had been for months. But instantly she was loosened. Came out of the bed all through the house worshiping God and praising God. Went out that afternoon, sat out in the backyard and had watermelon with us. Well, you can't very well argue with success, can you? But you see, in other words, he told us exactly what to do. In some of these cases, there's something to do. So you can't set out a pattern and say, well, it has to be done this way. It has to be done that way. No. You've got God's word. In some cases, just simply teach them the word. And preach the word. Get them to act on God's word and receive. Some other cases, sometimes you have to deal with certain situations. So in other words, you don't set out a pattern and say, now you always do it like this. Amen. So I said that to you just to get over to you the thought where folks miss it and just stay in the middle of the road. Don't try to build some doctrine on that. That may happen or may not happen. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, there are times that, you know, in a church service, when someone rose up and spoke with them, they thought they had, because they felt some urge of the Spirit, they had a what we call a message in tongues or an utterance in tongues for the edifying. You see, greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except you interpret. Remember 14th chapter? Now, see, there he's not talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues, which edifies you. He said that the church may receive edifying, see? Greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except he interpret. Saying that tongues with interpretation is equivalent to prophecy. Well, remember the simple gift of prophecy, speaking to men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. Praise God. Well, here's somebody might, I've had this happen a few times. Somebody stand up in the congregation, you see, and they thought, you know, maybe they had what we call a message in tongues or an utterance in tongues. And I heard them. Now, usually I'll get the interpretation if somebody has a message and you don't hear it. You get it in your spirit. But I heard them, and I just got up and said, now these folks were just simply praising God. Here's what they said. I heard it. It's like I said in English. Oh, Lord, I praise you and magnify your holy name. Great is thy name and greatly to be praised. My soul doth magnify thy holy name. I worship and honor you. And I heard it just like they got up in English and spoke it out. See? Well, I said it to the congregation so they'll know what they said. So I said, let's just all praise God with them. I've had that happen three or four times. Well, if it does, fine. If it doesn't, fine. But the thing about it is, they were just speaking in the tongue that they received when they was filled with the Spirit that's to be used in praise and worship. But there is another area of tongues whereby you're addressing the church. Can you understand that? Which is a different kind of tongue. Different kind of tongue. In essence, they're all the same. And I'll get into detail. We'll get over into tongue. In essence, tongues are all the same, but in purpose and use, they're different. We need to understand that, and then we'll understand how to minister and how to pray and how to walk in these areas. Now, let's get back to this. I exhort, therefore, first of all. We always get in trouble when we don't put first things first. Amen? First of all. Paul, I believe, is writing by the Holy Ghost, inspired by the Holy Ghost to Timothy, who is a pastor at this time. He wants Timothy to pass that message on to the congregation, that the Holy Ghost is exhorting that first of all, I mean, before you pray for your own folks, before you pray for your children, before you pray for anything, do this. And you can be sure of one thing, you're scripturally correct. If we had learned to put first things first, how different life could be for us. In our spiritual life, so many times people blame God for failures. We wonder why certain things don't go right, when really it's us that's missing it because we're not doing what the Word said. We're not putting first things first. As you use a thing, people put themselves first. You know, like we say sometimes, they're like the old farmer that always prayed, God bless me and my wife, my son John and his wife, us four no more. Now, we may not use those words just like that, but when you analyze it and sum it up, that's about the essence of our praying. But the Bible doesn't teach us to put ourselves first. The Bible teaches us to put others first. Many times, prayers are not answered for yourselves because you're putting yourself first. Amen? I remember I was holding a meeting one time in a four-square church. And one night, just a spirit of prayer fell on us. You know, I didn't even have to ask people to pray. I mean, just without saying anything. You know what I mean? Just everybody got on their knees. You look by. I've had that to happen a few times. I never know when it's going to happen, but it would happen once in a while. I mean, you go along 5, 6, 7 years, it never happened. And then it would happen. I mean everybody. Just like everybody, like you told them to. And yet nobody said anything publicly except the Holy Ghost motivated them. Everybody hit the floor. You know what I mean by hit the floor? Got off the pew and got on their knees. And there's an altar bench down here. Or come down around the front and knelt. You know, you look back across there, you know, and there's nobody sitting on the pew. Everybody's on the floor, on their knees. And so, right in the middle of my sermon. Never did even get to finish that one. Sometimes God wants to move, He can. He don't have to ask you. But you want to be sensitive enough to go with it. So I just stepped down off the platform and knelt down there myself and prayed. And we all prayed for some time, just a real spirit of prayer. When, at a time like that, a spirit of prayer there where you pray 45 minutes, and you think, well, I must have been prayed 5 or 10 minutes. Good, bound to have been at least 10 minutes. Open your eyes and look at your watch and you think, dear Lord, something happened to it. Started running fast here. Because it just went like that. You get in the spirit, there's no such thing as time. You think God's bothered with time? He's a spirit? No, there's no such thing as time. And so you're over in the spirit in a measure in prayer, you see, and that's the reason time will fly. And so while I'm praying there, though, the Lord said something to me. And I got up and I said this to them because, see, now they was in this nice church building. They'd been in it for 15 years. And it had a balcony in it. They never had anybody in the balcony. Until finally they just stored stuff up. I never turned any lights on up there, nothing, you know. The balcony is sort of up over the foyer of the church, you know. So, you know, I mean, if you didn't happen to look back, you'd even know it was up there. And, of course, no lights ever on. It's dark. But they never had anybody in the balcony. And they just stored stuff up there. The main floor was some nights, not all the time, but during the revival I was there, was what we call comfortably full. You could squeeze people up probably. But the Lord said to me, and I just said it to him, I saw it, literally saw this. I saw people park their car on the street because they had a parking lot, but then they could also park on the street on one side of it. You couldn't park on both sides of the street. And I saw people run. I saw a fellow run, and he jumped out of his car and left the car running the door open to get in the church door. And I wondered what he's doing. And then I heard these words spoken to me by the Holy Ghost, said, "You tell these folks that if they'll do just what I said do, put first things first, that I'll bless them, and they'll fill up this church, balcony too, and people will run to get in. But tell them that it'll come this way by putting first things first. First of all, before they ever pray for the..." Now, this is a Four Square church. Two blocks down the street was an Assembly of God church. Said, "Pray for the Assembly of God church first before you ever pray for your church. Pray that they'll be blessed. Pray that a move of God and a revival will come there. And every other church in town that you know of that believes in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ..." See, without shedding blood, no remission of sin. And in the new birth, and see, a lot of them, you know, he's praying for them, they don't have any move of the Spirit. They don't even know God. They're just going through forms of religion. Those that you know about, pray for them first before you ever pray for your own church. Pray for those churches. And then pray for the missionaries that you know of. Some they knew of, they had pictures of them out on a bulletin board. Pray always in all your prayers, that is, concerning the church and church work, do that always first. I told them that, see. Well, a little over a year later, less than 2 years, I guess about 20 months later, we were holding a meeting in a adjoining town, or really city, I guess it's 40,000, 50,000 people there. And so my wife said, "You know, honey," said, "I believe when we were over yonder last year, about 20 minutes before, one of the ladies in that church over there had a beauty salon, and she'd go there and get her hair fixed. Said, I believe I'll call. It's not too far over there, a few miles, because actually her beauty shop was several miles out of that town toward this other town. You see what I mean? I believe I'll call and see if I can get an..." She worked me in, so she called and she could, and so my wife went. Well, I carried her. She didn't drive at that time. And then I went back to get her. And so she was telling me, when she got in the car, I could see she was reading a lady. She said, that lady told her, said, "Last Sunday, Brother Higgins' prophecy came to pass. Last Sunday, for the first time, we filled up our church. And you could see people get out running to get in." But we did. She said, put it this way, said, "We worked religiously." Now, I'm sure all of them didn't, but a goodly number of them did. We worked religiously. Before we'd ever prayed, God bless the Four Square Church, we'd prayed God would bless the Assembly of God Church right down the street, two blocks from them. We'd put them first. We'd pray for other churches we know about in town that believed in the new birth and the blood of Jesus, that they would be blessed, that they'd have a revival, that their church would fill up. We'd pray for the missionaries. And then we'd give ourselves over to interceding for the lost here in our own place. Glory to God. I'll tell you, some of the greatest things that would happen if folks would just put first things first. Amen?
Amen?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. See, we ought to be concerned about everybody that's preaching the new birth. We may not agree on every other thing, but one thing about it, glory to God, that's the main thing. As the little boy said, that's the mainest. That's the main thing. Jesus Christ said himself that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Didn't say he'd come to start an argument between churches. Came to seek and to save that which is lost. That ought to be foremost in the minds of everybody. Amen. And so here, pray for kings and all in authority. Well, we don't have kings today that heads up nations. We have prime ministers and presidents, our leaders. Pray for those that are in authority from the national level right on down. It didn't just say pray for them in your own country. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm thoroughly convinced myself, beyond all shadow of a doubt, not even a shadow of doubt with me, that when we began to pray, we started changing things. And you know, some of you folks that were you students weren't, but there are some of our workers and so on that was here. Several years ago, about 5, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, for a couple of years almost, I'd conduct a weekly prayer meeting here. We called it prayer meeting. Mm-hmm. We didn't call it intercessory prayer meeting. No, that'd be unscriptural. Because we're going to pray whichever way the Lord leads us. Amen. You can't just say, well, we're going to have a supplication prayer meeting. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Uh-huh. No. Well, it'd be just as scriptural to say that as it would be to say we're going to have an intercessory prayer meeting, wouldn't it? I said, wouldn't it? No, we just, I'd keep emphasizing, I said, it's simply a prayer meeting. That means we meet to pray. Now, we'd give a little instruction, but we'd do mostly praying. And the Lord impressed me with that scripture there in James 5:7, where he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Well, regardless of what some folks think or don't think, he is coming. Amen. I said, he is coming.
Yes.
I said, he is coming. But he said, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth. The Lord is the husbandman. Waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth. And he has long patience for it. Until he receive the early and the latter rain. Well, the precious fruit of the earth is a harvest. And I said to our prayer group, I said, wait a minute, wait a minute. I don't think I was any more guilty than others. I think we'd all done. We just pretty well, I said, marked off, you know, the communist country. We prayed for the Christians that were there, but we sure didn't pray for the communist leaders. We prayed for Christians there. You know, heard how they were suffering. They would be blessed and helped. But I said, wait a minute, wait a minute. He's not waiting for the precious fruit of the United States.
Amen.
He's not waiting for the precious fruit of North America. He said he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. The earth. Well, I said, before he can come, there's got to be a revival behind the iron curtain. Before he can come, there's got to be a revival behind the bamboo curtain. There's got to be a gathering of harvest from the whole earth, hasn't there? Well, then how does it come about? Well, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, the scripture said. So the Lord will make bright cloud and send showers of rain to everyone grass in his field. What does the Bible said? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into the harvest. Then what does the Bible said? Pray for kings, plural. If you're a historian, you know that most nations had a king heading up. If you're also a student of history, how many of those kings were Christians? Very seldom did you ever find one that embraced Christianity. For all then, so we started praying. And I thought after a while, after many, many months, well, we won't pray about that tonight. And before we'd get away, the Holy Ghost would speak to me. And he said, you haven't prayed for Russia yet, behind the iron curtain, behind the bamboo curtain. Communist countries, we'd call them by name. And not only that, but in my own private prayers, I got to praying for the leaders. I'm well satisfied these fellows have changed because we started praying for them. And things have changed considerably. I got a letter from, I believe it's one of our Assembly of God ministers up north. They wrote me a letter. They'd been to Yugoslavia. This is several years ago. They'd been to Yugoslavia. And they said, I was really pleased to find your books there in the bookstores. Glory to God. In Yugoslavia. And this is about 1985, I guess. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And in our last winter seminar, Bible seminar, just last February, right at that time, we got word from some of those. Of course, they hadn't changed. You know, they've changed the government in Hungary now. But they hadn't changed then. But these folks said, we've got permission from the government to publish, and we had to give them permission, sign, you know, a legal document, you know, gave them permission to do it. So they printed first. They printed some since then. But they took the name of Jesus and how to be led by the Spirit, you see, and made one good-sized big book out of it. Printed on Communist Press. And by printing on Communist Press, of course, the government controlled TV, just one TV channel. But they advertised it on TV at nighttime at 8 o'clock. Now, that church, when they did that, was running, in February, was running 500 in attendance. In May, they're running 1,500 in attendance, in triple. Hallelujah. I believe all that came about is our praying. And we don't quit. We still do it. I'm thoroughly convinced that a lot of these things changed because of our praying. Amen. One of our guys here out of the church here has been into Russia. I don't know how many times. But then some of the Rhema graduates that live in Sweden have been in there. Well, I believe it's about a year ago this fall. Well, they had a minister's conference up in Siberia. A lot of them came. But now since they got this openness policy, well, and they don't have a problem. But they said KGB was there all right, looking them over, and they prayed for the sick, gifts of healing and operation. But some of the leaders of the communist government out of Moscow was there. Actually talked to them and said, you folks have just got something we don't have. Said we appeal to people's heads, but y'all appeal to people's hearts. They could see this getting inside folks. Not only that, some of the leaders said, you know, we tried everything else that don't work. We ought to try religion now. That's some of the leaders talking. We tried everything else that don't work. It hadn't worked. So we ought to try religion now, see how it works. Well, of course, we want to get more religion to them. We want to get the new birth to them. And it'll work. But I believe their thinking has changed because we prayed. And there's a real move on. I said there's a real move on. Glory to God. Now, why did I say all that to you? I believe things started happening because we started putting first things first. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless his holy name forever. Let's notice this. Let's, you know, get into some scriptural direction or scriptural examples. For instance, in the book of Genesis. See, now this, the text said here in 1 Timothy 2nd chapter, supplications, prayers, intercessions. But we will talk about, because intercession is one kind of praying, and we want to talk about the prayer of intercession. Of course, that is a prayer for others. And this text is talking about praying and interceding. Now, to intercede, according to the dictionary, is to act between parties with a view to reconciling differences. Did you get that now? You see, you intercede. It also said, the dictionary said, to intercede means to beg or plead in the behalf of another. Now, the dictionary said supplication means prayer of petition or earnestly in favor of another. To make humble entreaty, to pray beseechingly, ask humbly and earnestly. Humble and earnest entreaty. Now, I call your attention to this. I want to emphasize it again. Scripture that we've looked at here that I think will help us in that verse there in Ephesians. Let's reiterate this. You'll notice that he's there talking about praying for all saints. Never said a word about praying for the world or for kings and all in authority, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for whom? For all saints. For all saints. For all saints. Never said a word about interceding for all saints, did he? I said, did he? I don't think we've divided these up as we should have. You see, to make earnestly, to pray, you see, an earnest petition in prayer in favor of another. To make humble entreaty, pray beseechingly, ask humbly and earnestly. That's supplication. Well, you see, supplication, he put that word in there twice in that one verse. For all saints. So we can make earnest petition, earnest entreaty, for all saints. Or earnest or entreaty for favor. Those saints are not at odds with God. They're not at odds with us. But they may not know how to pray as they should. We said we were going to make intercession for them. I mean, we said that. But really, we don't have any scripture that said we were to. Does tell us to pray for them and does tell us to pray with supplication. Now, here's a good rule that's primarily right. You supplicate for Christians and intercede for others. For all saints. Amen? But you see here, some of these folks may be saved, these rulers, those in authority. Most of them were not. That's the reason he got both supplication and intercession in there. Now, the word intercession, according to the dictionary, means to intercede, to act between parties with the thought, in other words, to reconcile differences. Well, you see, a Christian doesn't need intercession because there's no differences that need to be reconciled. They're already in tune with God, but those others are not. Intercession, according to the dictionary, also means a mediator. An intercessor is a mediator. A mediator is one, you know, that goes between two parties to try to reconcile them. Intervention, mediation, prayer, entreaty. For another, or for others. Now, to mediate, according to the dictionary, means to be in the middle, acting as a for or by an intervening cause or instrument. Mediation means intercession of one power between other powers on their invitation or covenant to arrange differences between them. Now you notice that when labor and capital, they'll appoint, you know, sometimes a mediator. Are you listening to me? Mediator is one who interposes between parties of variance to reconcile them. Intercession means also to come between. Well, you don't need to come between Christians. They're already in fellowship, praise God, with the Father. But you see, most of these kings and rulers were not Christians, so intercession is to be made for them. Amen. That we might lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. For this is right in the sight of God. Thank God for supplication. Thank God for intercession. Amen? But like I said now, we have just put intercession, supplication with intercession, called it all intercession. Really, it isn't. But we don't need to be so technically minded. Just go ahead, bless God, and intercede and supplicate. Amen? And get the job done. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise His holy name forever.
There's another thought here. You remember James, the fifth chapter? And you remember there in James, the fifth chapter, he says, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, let them pray of him, knowing the name of the Lord. Prayer of faith to save the sick, the Lord shall raise him up. If he've committed sins, it shall be forgiven him. Now notice the 16th verse. That is the 14th, 15th. Notice the 16th verse. Pray one for another that you may be healed. You notice that? For the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, The Amplified translation said, the earnest continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Oh, you following me now? Well, now notice that he doesn't use the word intercession there. Actually, when you pray earnestly, that way, what you are is supplicating. How much teaching have you ever heard about supplication? Very little. One fellow said zero. But if that's part of it, we ought to study it and think about it, shouldn't we? I think what we have done, and I'm just as guilty as the rest of you, that we've called it all intercession. But that doesn't make it intercession. Sort of like this, you could call a T Model Ford, a Rolls Royce. There are all automobiles, but they're different. Amen. You could call a Volkswagen, a Cadillac. They are all automobiles, but they're different. So in one sense of the word, it is all prayer, but it's different. Are you thinking? Amen. Praise God. Good for you. It won't hurt you. Then again, I want to reiterate again. Remember there in Philippians, we looked at that. In praying for yourself. Be careful for nothing, or do not fret, have any anxiety about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now notice he doesn't mention intercession there. Does he? See, you don't intercede for yourself. And I suppose really the only way you could really intercede for a Christian would be if they don't know or they're backslid or something. But you can. Notice he only puts intercession in when it comes to those outside the body of Christ, kings, and for all that are in authority. So it might help us to think along this line and see where we may have gotten off course. Amen. Somebody asked me, said, do you believe in casting out devils through the prayer of intercession? Well, certainly not. There's nothing in the Bible about that. I said, there's nothing in the Bible about that. Cast out devils in the name of Jesus. Now, have you got your Bible open to Genesis? This is a prayer of intercession. Notice that he's interceding for the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were ungodly. There's nobody in there that even knows God in any way, shape, form, or fashion except Lot. Now, let's notice Genesis 18 chapter, 20th and 21st verse. And the Lord says, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is come unto me. And if not, I will know. Now, skip down to that 23rd verse. And we'll read through the 27th. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Because he's telling Abraham what he's going to do. That he's going to destroy those cities. Peradventure, 24th verse now. Peradventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? Verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked. And that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Now notice, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now you could say it in another way here. He's pleading his case. Back over there in Isaiah 43, 25 and 26, you remember. God said, I even I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. I'll not remember thine iniquities. Now the next verse. Put me in remembrance. let us, now notice that, us plead together. Well, if we're going to plead together, I'm going to plead with you and you're going to plead with me. Aren't you? Now, we go on reading King James translation, that same verse said, let us plead together. God said, let us plead together. Isaiah 43:26. Then he said, declare thou. King James translation says, declare thou. The margin, or other translation said, set forth your cause that you may be justified. Set forth your cause. Well, in one sense of the word, Abraham is pleading the case of the righteous. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? You're going to destroy the righteous with the wicked? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Think about that. Think about that. Those wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, that's where we get the word sodomy. When those angels came down there, see, angels, as God wills, has the authority to transform themselves there. They look like men. And they saw those men, literally saw them come to Lot's house. And those men gathered at the door wanting them to send them out. They wanted to sodomize them. That whole place is filthy. That whole place is filled with iniquity and sin. That's what God said. The cry of it's come up before me. And yet, right on the other hand, he said, because Abraham prayed. Hallelujah. Yeah, if I can find 50 righteous. That's what he asked him. If I can find 50 righteous, I'll spare all of the place for the 50 righteous. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Now, another thing I want you to see. One man is getting the job done. How much more should we be able to get it done? Under a better covenant than that one. One man's getting the job done. Just one man praying. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Dear Father, that which we know not, teach thou us. That which we see not, show thou us. Prepare thou us for that which thou hast prepared for us. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. You're dismissed.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484. Or visit our website at www.rhema.org. Or write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station D, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4X3.